Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Folks, we welcome you back for the Festivus episode of the GNO Inc. Hour, where we air our grievances with Michael Heck over the last year, 2025. Actually, Matt Wolf joins us because he was chosen as this year's Festivus rep of Michael's subordinates at GNO Inc. So take it away, Matt.
Yeah, well, you know, Michael is actually on his way not to the North Pole, but the South Pole to go rescue a tour guide for our COO who is trying to take a vacation later this week. So hopefully all of it can happen and work out the way it needs to.
That's the best grievance you have, Matt? Come on now.
We're working on it.
All kidding aside, welcome to the show. Good, so good to have you. We wish everyone at GNO Inc. a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Another great year. Let's talk about, let's start off with this year in review of 2025 in Louisiana. A lot happening.
Yeah, well, you know, First of all, the numbers on their own are remarkable to see, 9,300 new jobs created in the state, $61 billion in projects. That's $61 billion that companies could have been spending on anything, and they chose to spend it on new projects in Louisiana. And I think this is really good for a few reasons, but most importantly, it validates really what the thesis behind this new era of Louisiana economic development was built around, which is, kind of, I hate to call it the field of dreams model, but it is the if you build it, they will come type of situation. And what they built in Baton Rouge is a machine to promote this as a business-friendly location, to build, tax restructuring to make it financially feasible for companies to come here, and to build training programs at universities and colleges around the state to make sure that we've got a workforce ready to do the jobs that are being created by these companies. So, all of that may sound good on paper until you really do it, but I think what we're seeing here is the proof in the pudding that, these are not just jobs in terms of like numbers. These are good jobs. These are average salary of about $91,000. That's $30,000 above the state average. So this growth is not just powering the economy, it's growing the economy. So it's really impressive. I think it's underappreciated just how much is being done here. And more importantly, keep in mind the economy has been one of the number one issues for Louisiana residents for the past, I don't even know how many years. But anytime you look at a statewide poll of what issues voters are having, the economy is it. This is how you fix it.
As we look back on the year, I got to imagine that the Louisiana GDP is going to end up relatively healthy for 2025. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at some of the indicators that make that happen. And of course, the momentum isn't stopping. The announcements still keep coming in. The evolution of the economy keeps moving along. So, these are numbers that, you're right, are going to look better in 2025. 2026 and beyond, because I just don't see this train slowing down anytime soon.
Do you see, or is there a feeling that there are any significant headwinds that might have a chilling effect?
Well, I mean, obviously this comes down to confidence. And I think first and foremost, I think you have to have companies who have a confidence in the overall economy. And by that, I mean the global economy. And I think, you know, coming out of a little bit of a downturn in years previous, we do see, you know, again, the proof in the pudding here that companies are feeling comfortable that they can go into that growth mode and make investments into their own future, which is something that they weren't really willing to do. Now, to your point of chilling, if those tides turn a little bit, then yeah, it's much harder to convince companies to spend $61 billion in themselves because you tighten your own belts. So, you know, I don't know if there's one specific thing that can make that happen, but I think the more that companies feel that there's an atmosphere built for them to invest in themselves, and then we're going to be able to reap the benefits.
And one of the reason I probably should have given you more context, and I apologize, but you know, I think it was maybe yesterday or Friday, the Trump administration announces, that they're really not looking favorably upon wind technology and have kind of been a little bit of a disruptor on a lot of what's happening on the East Coast there. You know, and I know that we've made some significant inroads in manufacturing processes for wind in this all-of-the-above approach that we have to energy in this state, which I think has created momentum for us. And it's just interesting, this on-again, off-again, that's kind of going on with some of these alternative energy programs and what that will mean to us here.
Right. Well, you know, I think, you know, these things do require taking a long game approach. And I think for as many steps forward as Louisiana made to embrace something like offshore wind, for example, the reality is that none of that was going to happen quickly. And a lot of the investments that were being made were to make those new and growing technologies more efficient, better, more cost effective. And so a lot of what you're seeing, you know, beyond maybe some political reasoning behind it is, look, on paper right now, it just doesn't, it hasn't made as much financial sense to use today as traditional power sources. And so, you know, luckily, you know, to your point, we have an all the above energy strategy, which meant that we weren't putting all of our eggs in one single basket. You know, I think we're confident that, you know, some of those things will stabilize over time, and things that feel new and different and bizarre become maybe a little more normal. You know, keep in mind, I remember at one point in time, the internet was something that not every company embraced. Email was not something that everyone used. Cell phones were not, you know, standard in the workplace. And not that I'm comparing offshore wind to cell phones. Obviously, they're a little bit different from one another. But I think that time makes just, you know, big changes feel less disruptive and more safe.
Yeah, well put. I mean, you go through these peaks and valleys, right, with new technologies all the time. Two steps forward, one step back.
Absolutely. And again, luckily, we're in a position as a state that we can adapt. And, you know, because we're good at so many different things in the energy industry, as you just described, it means that one single step back doesn't hurt us. I mean, just look at what happened in the oil and gas industry. You know, obviously, you know, while production has been pretty strong, you know, there was a little bit of a permitting slowdown. We just had the leases, what was that, 2 weeks ago? And that just re-unlocks it. Our energy industry was still doing great. Now it's going to do even greater.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's talk about Harbor Energy and acquiring Louisiana headquartered LLOG Exploration. That's big news.
Yeah, this is huge. I mean, we were just talking about you know, the energy industry. This is great for a lot of reasons. First and foremost, this brings in a foreign company into the market, which means that, you know, it's becoming more normal for these foreign investments into the market. But what's really exciting about this, and I was actually on an email with the company's leadership earlier today, you know, to just stress how important it is for the company that they're going to retain their name, their leadership, the Louisiana base. while also still just doing all the things that they've been great at in producing offshore assets, you know, ensuring that local workforce stays employed. And this just builds on the brand of the state as a hub for deepwater energy operations.
Yeah. That foreign investment piece that you mentioned, that has a lot of upside for a whole lot of different reasons, right?
Absolutely. I mean, this is, you know, it really reinforces, I think, what a lot of us have thought for a long time, which is that, especially outside of the states, you know, the other countries don't look at Louisiana in kind of the same viewpoint as they do domestically. In other words, they just look at this purely as a business play. And, you know, on paper, Louisiana is one of the most attractive business cases in the country. And so, you know, some of the other attributes that we add to ourselves to maybe disqualify ourselves or maybe that other states may look at us as being unfavorable, other countries don't look at it the same way. So, I mean, we'll take weather, for example. You know, I think that we have a tendency as a country to look at, you know, this as being a storm-prone area or that, you know, sometimes we have flooding issues. Well, look, I was paying attention to this, you know, really, you know, over the past few weeks. Think about how many videos you see every single year of pileups that happen on interstate highways in the Northeast Corridor. Happens all the time. You know, these are big rigs, cars, you name it. Shuts down interstates for days, you know, and for some reason that gets the blessing, but here is, you know, looked at as being cursed. I think the more that we change that narrative as a country and just essentially realize that, you know, business conditions sometimes fluctuate anywhere, the better we're going to be fit to experience, you know, shared growth. Again, Europe doesn't look at it the same way. They just look at this as a place that makes sense because, again, you know, sometimes things just happen anywhere.
Let's pivot real quick. A lot of folks don't realize that there's a construction boom going on here in the state of Louisiana. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, you know, we've got billions of dollars in industrial projects. We just kind of talked about the $61 billion. A lot of the work of those investment work involves construction. There's also all of the incredible infrastructure work that's being done. So, yeah, we've got around $100 billion in construction underway. But the big question mark is, you know, can the state train enough workers to keep up with those demands? And the answer so far has been absolutely yes. We've got a community college system, the LCTCS system, that is stepping in. They're working directly with employers to design training that matches real project needs. You know, this is exactly the type of response that you want from the schools, and then it leads to higher enrollment. We're seeing that those rates are climbing really fast. And, you know, coinciding with that, the wages are climbing fast because, you know, with demand and supply, we know exactly what happens there. So I think that what luckily people are seeing is that construction has really become a high-paying, stable career path for Louisianians, and that to be able to do that, you've got some really strong programming in our community college system around the state to prepare you for it.
And enrollment's up, right? I read a report the other day that a lot of the community college enrollment numbers are looking really healthy.
Yeah, they're doing a fantastic job at showcasing the strong work that they're doing. And, you know, I've been on some of these tours where, you know, you're on one of the campuses, high school students are coming through looking at the facility, and they do this so great. Is you've got a 19-year-old sitting there going, yeah, I'm making $85,000 a year, and I was in high school last year just like you guys. And, I mean, there's just no better way to sell it than just show I'm someone who just went through this same process you're going through right now, and I'm making pretty good money as a result.
Matt, the Port of South Louisiana has a new executive director. You know, for a long time, we didn't really pay much attention to these positions, but as there's more collaboration, a more cohesive approach to ports in Louisiana working together as a team, this really goes to the forefront and be a top of mind for a lot of folks.
Absolutely. Well, you know, first of all, you know, we do probably take for granted what a big asset we have right down the road in the Port of South Louisiana. It is, I believe, I mean, I know together the port system is the largest in the Western Hemisphere, but I do believe Port of South Louisiana on its own handles the most tonnage as a single port entity in the Western Hemisphere. I may be wrong with that, but regardless, you know, there's a lot that can be said about this decision. Julia Fisher Cormier was voted in as their new executive director. It was a unanimous vote, but more importantly, you know, she's coming back home. You know, this is where she previously cut her teeth as the chief commercial officer. She helped drive investment. She reversed declining tonnage, and she strengthened their intermodal assets on the facility. Look, this was a decision. They could have gone in a lot of different directions, as you just mentioned. More people are paying attention than ever at what's going on in our port system. They also had a national search. So, I mean, let's not pretend that she wasn't up against some stiff competition, but ultimately she had a resume and a set of experiences that were unbeatable, and I think it positions them to continue their growth and transformation, and it's going to drive even more investment and growth in their tonnage again.
It's amazing, and you and I have talked about this, and I've talked about it with Michael as well, how we take things for granted here for a long, long time and kind of lost sight of the importance of all of this. And then the collaborative effort of all the ports coming together and recognizing, you know, that the tide can rise for all instead of being in competition with one another, I think it's really been a transformational thing for us here.
It's a huge mindset shift, and, you know, I think it is important for us to remember, I mean, especially when we're talking about the international trade industry, it's why we exist, and especially as we approach the 250th anniversary of our country, look, the Louisiana Purchase was one of the biggest deals ever made, and it was made for a big reason, and it's because of what we have here, the river, the Gulf, and the system that feeds into it. So I think that, you know, I'm glad that these assets are being celebrated in a significant way and that each of those entities have figured out a way to appreciate each other and lift each other up.
Why don't we do this? Let's take a break right now. I didn't realize we had eaten up so much time. We're visiting with Matt Wolf, VP of Communications at GNO Inc. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Matt Wolf, VP of Communications, GNO Inc. Matt, let's talk about the Tulane Innovation Institute that they're now accepting applications for their third annual $50,000 demo day on March 11th, 2026. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, Tulane, of course, is going through so much growth right now, but one of the things that they've done that's been really exciting is they've really ramped up their efforts around supporting innovation. And so they're hosting a demo day on March 11th. It's during New Orleans Entrepreneur Week, which of course is one of the marquee startup events in the area. And it's really just meant to be a showcase of what's coming next from local startups. As you mentioned, it's a $50,000 demo day. The top prize prize is actually $25,000, but there's additional funding for the runners-up. And also, Tulane is going to be providing some free mentorship programs that are really made to help founders go from idea to launch, which is really a difficult process to go through. Really, they're trying to attract people who have any interest at all, because this was interesting. You don't even have to be incorporated in any way to apply for this. They do want proof of real progress, like prototypes or customer testing or business model, but you don't actually have to be operational. Those applications are open now. They're going to close in early January, on January 9th, to be specific. This is really a great way for someone who's kind of been tinkering with an idea or thinking about, maybe starting a business to kind of take the leap without really any risk involved.
Yeah. And I guess this would be a great segue to our special guest, Josh Flegg, who joins us, who is the Chief Technology Officer at the Louisiana Economic Development. Josh, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Newell. Glad to be here. It's Chief Innovation Officer. There's an important distinction there. It's a little bit different, but I'm super excited to be here today.
What did I say?
Chief Technology Officer.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got it. No problem.
Both are important roles. The Chief Technology Officer is usually focused on like what software products, yes, and what IT products that an org is going to use. My focus is outside of the agency, and it's trying to help build more of these companies that Matt was just talking about that would be pitching at Tulane's demo night.
So, Josh, in celebration of Festivus, you were supposed to air your grievances about Michael Heck, not my intro of you. So I'm going to give you another opportunity to do so.
Where do I start on my grievances with Michael? No, my Michael is my spirit animal. There are no grievances to be aired here.
Well, I thought I'd just give it a shot, see if.
I think Michael's actually in Greenland right now with Governor working on this new plan.
Okay. Yep. All right, let's talk about this LAIO, if you would, and tell us about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So Louisiana Innovation is the newest division of Louisiana Economic Development. And we started it earlier this year. We actually announced it at the Super Bowl at the Governor's Pavilion and used that as our debutante. But the goal is to support innovation in Louisiana. And the way we measure innovation, the way we think about that is to fuel more startups across the state that are building new products, new processes, and new business models here at home in Louisiana. So it's investing in the long game. It's investing in small companies that have the structure or the intellectual property to grow up and be really big companies one day here in Louisiana. And that's our goal. And that's our focus. And we've just now, coming up on the end of our first year. So it's been an exciting run.
So what sets it apart that makes it different that y'all thought it was important to kind of break it out and put it in it's for lack of a better term, its own like kind of like silo and have focused attention on it?
Yeah, there's a bunch of reasons. Look, the macro reason here is much of the country's GDP growth over the last 2.5 decades has been really for two things. Technology-led innovation, so to think the big guys in Silicon Valley that are now worth trillions and trillions of dollars, and help swelling healthcare costs. Well, it's hard for us to do much about the healthcare cost piece, but what we can do is say we want our share of technology-led innovation in Louisiana, because it's really what has led to much of the growth in this country over the last few decades, and Louisiana has just missed out on that last industrial wave. The internet, Web 2.0. Digitization, all the dollars and all the jobs that were created in that wave happened in other places, and we missed it, and we've been flat for much of the last few decades. The interesting thing is we're in a new turning point. We're in the beginning of a new industrial wave that's all about automation and robotics and artificial intelligence, and we have to make sure that we're participating in that and that growth globally, or we will be left behind again. And so it's critical that we do that. Another reason that we have a separate brand, we have a separate identity, is because we're measured differently as well. You know, we're taking risks in early stage startup companies here in Louisiana, and we're measured on how many of those companies we can touch, how many of those companies we can invest in across the state, rather than traditional economic development projects, which are measured in how much capital this manufacturer is going to put into the ground, how many jobs they're going to create. All important stuff. We got to do all of it, and we have to do all of it better. But fundamentally, we have different, you know, key performance indicators, different audience, different measuring stick. But all of this was absolutely about capturing our share of the growth over the next few decades.
Is there a little tinge of folks being weary of the traditional paths that had been set forth in these initial patterns of investment in technology, whether it's Silicon Valley, Austin, or other areas, where they're looking for a new place to be?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think we're at an interesting turning point in tech overall. So if you look at the last 20 years, much of what has driven investment and growth has been the internet, right? It's been search engine optimization. It's about optimizing click-through rates for Google ads to find a dentist in Broussard. You know, all of that stuff has works, and it's big and it scales globally, but it's made people in California and Washington a lot of money. It's not worked so well here. This new industrial revolution that we are entering now is about making stuff in the physical world, but being more productive. So Louisiana is a place that makes boats. We make chemicals. We make energy products in general. We manufacture goods. We move goods for the entire globe through our ports. How do we do that stuff more productively through technology? So we're a laboratory. And I think this, you know, the stuff that like we think about as being some of our challenges in Louisiana are our opportunities for this next industrial wave, because you can get your hands dirty and you can implement technology in a way here that you can't in a lot of other places. You know, so I think it's our turn to win in this next industrial revolution. But we have to be smart. We have to make sure that our small businesses are leveraging technology so that they're more productive, because if we're not, we're gonna cede this battle, not only to places like China, but even to our next door neighbors. You know, if our steel fabricator can't, you know, punch holes in steel fast enough, someone next door in Texas is going to do it, and they're going to do it with robots, and they're going to do it with automation. So we have to make sure that we're competitive in this global race.
So we all know that AI is, you know, growing by leaps and bounds and moving fast. Have you ever seen a technology like this move this fast?
Never. And we never have in humankind. I mean, if you just look at the data, and there's 1,000 of these data points that are fascinating, but look, ChatGPT alone, which is just one application of this tech, is the fastest growing consumer application of all time. Fastest to 100 million users. They're about to hit 1 billion weekly active users. There's only 8 billion people on this rock, right? Like there's never been anything that's moved this fast. The investment in AI is propping up the entire global economy right now. It is staggering how fast this stuff is moving.
When you say that, it's like a chill goes down my spine. I think it's pretty scary, you know, about trying to get kind of your hands around it, your head around it, right?
Yeah, it is, but honestly, look, fear is a real response, right? It's a protective mechanism for sure, but what we have to do is we have to understand these tools. And so if our workforce, if our small businesses are not actively trying to figure out how to extract value from artificial intelligence, we'll be left in the dust, because the train's coming no matter what, right? But if we do nothing, it'll obliterate us. And every economist who has studied, these periods of creative destruction have proven that states and countries that embrace technological change create more wealth and more jobs in the long run, and states and countries that do not end up challenged and poor and stunted for a very long time. So the best way to get involved is to jump in the deep end and start working with these tools.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that, because you're so right about fear being the initial response, but you can't fear the fear. You can't fear the failure, the possibility of the failure, because then you're left behind because you're not in the game, right?
Right, right. You don't know. Look, at the end of the day, there will likely be applications of artificial intelligence that are no bueno, right? That we're going to have to figure out how to regulate. That's real. But until we're actually applying these tools to the real world, to how we make ships or how we fabricate steel or how we refine chemicals and oil products, we just don't know. But I promise you, just banning stuff or ignoring it or sticking our head in the sand is a faster way to ruin things.
You mentioned, the steel and this and that, and what pops to mind, it pops into my head is the fact that we're always trying to figure out a better way to compete with China, to compete with Southeast Asia. AI may be actually the very thing that levels the playing field for us. Your thoughts?
Yeah, 100%. But the space race is real, and it's on, and it's happening very quickly because they're growing too. There's been a lot of chatter around increase our export controls of some of our chips that power AI to China. It looks like we're going to relax those. China doesn't sit around and have this ethical debate over should we automate our factories or should we not. They're just doing it. If you go to YouTube and you just Google dark factories, you will see thousands of videos of these factories operating in the dark in China. And the reality is they will continue to outmanufacture us if we don't step up. And it becomes a national security threat too, right? And Saronic's a good project I'll use. Saronic's a company that just bought a shipyard in Franklin, Louisiana. And they're now making autonomous ships for the Navy in Franklin, Louisiana, ships that have no sailors on board. That's a place Louisiana can win. And we can also add this national security conversation. But we have to do it because we know that our adversaries are growing very quickly as well and investing a ton of money in this. Look at the last 5 years in China. Their research and development spend from the Communist Party down has more than doubled. That's real. That's a real challenge that we have to face head on in the United States.
So what does this all look like for LAIO if y'all achieve success? What's that picture? Paint it for me.
Yeah. So in the short term, we need to support the growth of more technology-enabled startups in more parts of the state. So we know we have gaps in geography. Some cities are performing well. Some cities, have a lot of room for improvement. we know we have gaps in geography. We also know we have gaps in industry. We know that we're the trade and logistics hub for North America. I'm not so sure that we're, leading the way in innovation in that space. There's a lot of room for improvement. Like, right? Why aren't we leading in the things that we do well, right? So we need to continue to grow in our maritime industry, in our aerospace and defense industry in terms of innovation. Because if not, we get left in the dust. But we also have to do this in, other parts of the state as well, right? So I think we're underperforming in some parts of the state. We're underperforming in some industries. We've got to fix that. But in the long run, the long play here, I think we have more companies headquartered in Louisiana, fundamentally. And we're going to have to build those companies from the ground up here. And that's what this effort is all about, so that we look up in 20 years and we have more Fortune 500s building, amazing world-changing products and delivering those products and those services from our borders.
Love it. I mean, it's incredible. Those numbers that you quoted about how fast this thing is growing is absolutely unbelievable. I mean, I don't think anybody realizes. I mean, when you said those numbers, they're like, oh my God, I've not heard that before. But it's
just wild.
It is. It is. And I mean, it's like getting on a wild horse and trying to tame it, right?
I'm telling you, we got to do it. We got to buckle up because we have to remain relevant and make sure that we are part of the global economy, not steered by it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Josh Flagg, Chief Information Officer at the Louisiana Economic Development. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we will be right back with Matt Wolf's final thoughts when we return.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Matt Wolf, VP of Communications for GNO Inc. Matt, I don't know about you, but that was head spinning. I mean, those numbers and where this AI is going. I mean, everyone knows it's growing fast, but I didn't realize it was growing at that rate.
It's kind of unbelievable, and you know, I don't even. I mean, I'm glad that someone's got the number because I sure don't know them off the top of my head. But it's staggering to try to even imagine how different our lives are going to be in just a few years. It's wild.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that you guys are always trying to you know, ride the crest of the wave. So what's up for 2026?
Yeah, well, you know, I think there are a few things that we're really excited about. You know, of course, you know, watching everything happening over in City Hall across the street from our offices. You know, we're really excited for what this means on a lot of different levels. But you know, first and foremost, just the fact that you know we're just going to be you know in lockstep with what they're doing, especially on the economic development front. It's going to be refreshing. I can't wait to see what things start to look like here on January 12th. You know, on the industrial side. You know, we're really excited about what's happening. You know, we talked a little bit about international trade before. You guys just touched on shipbuilding a little bit. Obviously, the autonomous shipbuilding is even more unbelievable. But, you know, I think, you know, we've gotten back to basics as a state, which is, you know, we're back to what we're really good at, which is building really big, complicated things here. And then the last thing is, and this touches a little bit on a little bit of what we talked about before Josh came on, but you know, one of the missions that we've got as an organization in 2026 is, you know, how do we do our best to make sure that the people who live here don't take it for granted all of those things that we're really good at. I think we're really great at celebrating the things that are fun. And we're really great at talking bad about the things that aren't doing too great. But what we don't do a really strong enough job at is making it clear that we are actually really good at a lot of things. You know, again, the fact that we've been heavily involved in aerospace since the 60s at every manned space flight that NASA has taken has had a significant portion of it built here in New Orleans. And the fact that we're sending the first woman and person of color to the moon with a rocket that was built, 90% of it was built in New Orleans. I mean, you wouldn't know that if you talk to people who live here. So, you know, how do we just unlock, you know, the ability for us to celebrate the things that maybe aren't a football game, that maybe aren't a festival, because, you know, I think that no one would try to say that New York isn't a very varied place in that, you know, they're very good at business, but you can definitely sure have a lot of fun in New York, and it's very unique and culturally rich, so on and so forth. Same thing for Chicago, same thing for Los Angeles. For some reason, we just haven't accepted that our brand can be a little bit of both. That you know, maybe it is a little bit of a mullet. I think someone in a recent discussion called it a reverse mullet, that maybe we lead with the party in the front and the business in the back. But either way, you know, it's something important for us as an organization to just raise the visibility. It's a big reason why we come on here with you every week, is to talk about the great things that are happening here. How do we kind of turn that up a notch, and how do we, you know, just make it a deeper part of our culture here?
Well, it's certainly my motivation for having this segment, and the NOLA Coalition segment and others, because I've recognized for a long time, although we do point out the failures because I think those are learning opportunities, but we have to be our own best cheerleaders, because no one else is going to cheer for us, because literally everything in the economy today is a competition. And whether we view it that way or not is of no moment, because it is. It's a fact. And we're competing for our lives. We're competing against Mississippi, Texas, Alabama. The list goes on, and internationally as well. And the sooner that we come to that realization, the better the opportunity for us to be our own best cheerleaders.
Amen to that. And look, people pick up on it. And so when they come and they visit and they're here for a conference or they're here for a wedding or Mardi Gras or a football game, you know, they talk to us and they hear what we say. And, you know, the more that we're excited about the things that, you know, are very normal about life here and not so much all the only the celebrations, the more that they're going to want to be a part of it.
No doubt. No doubt. Everybody wants to be on a winning team, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For sure. And you guys are definitely a winning team, for sure. Thank you so much for all the time that y'all have spent with me over 2025. And we wish you and your entire team a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Same to you. Happy holidays to you and everyone out there.
Thank you, sir. That's Matt Wolf, VP of Communications, GNO Inc. We'll be right back. Stay with us. When we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics, a year in review, 2025. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.